Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer.
On News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk, coming to you today from the Dean Townhouse in association with our friends in Marks and Spencer's to celebrate International Women's Day. And on the stage with us now, we have three of the very finest examples of that. Women, I mean. Serena Bellissimo, Linda Coogan, Olivia Fahey. Good afternoon to you all.
Hello.
Yeah, very briefly, Olivia, the two movies today.
We are doing two streaming movies, actually. So we're doing Damsel and we're also doing Ricky Stenicki.
Ricky Stenicki. That's kind of like a stupid thing that you like.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. If you've listened to my reviews before, you know I love a terribly bad, stupid movie. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. So, Fizz, Linda, what is this Fizz in our hands?
It's from Marks & Spencer Found Range. So it is... Cheers. I'm already getting a cheers there. Everyone's enjoying this Moscato Secco. That is a dry Moscato, which is quite unusual. So it's a found range from Marks & Spencer's, and they're doing something a little bit different, that they're using grapes in a different way. Typically, this is sweet, and this is a drier. Now, it is a little touch sweet. It's off dry, but it's much, much drier than you would expect from the grape Moscato.
Right.
So Asti Secco is, Asti is a place, but it's also a style of sparkling wine. So it comes with the mushroom cork that you'd get in champagne, but it's made in a tank like Prosecco. So light, fruity, floral, and grapey. Isn't it grapey? Like, it's one of the wines that you can actually say taste like grapes, which is a little bit different.
Yeah, and Secco is the name of the grape.
Asti Secco. Secco meaning dry.
Yeah.
Asti is the region and the style, and Moscato is the grape.
Right, okay, so I've never heard of any of them before, I must say. That's...
Yeah, so as it's the found range, it's a little bit different. It's not typical, it's a little bit, you know, not that well known. People know Prosecco, they know Cava, they know Cremant. So this is a grape called Moscato, and the style and the region is Asti.
Right.
And it's DOCG, meaning one of the top quality areas in northern Italy, in Piedmont.
Right, okay. Oh, that's why it's the found range. Rather than I found this in a hedge.
Found.
Okay, that's good. That makes it clearer as to why it's called that. Okay, that's very nice. And it's not, it doesn't have that biscuity thing going
on.
No,
it doesn't have any
more
of that.
An actual wine. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's made in a tank, so it doesn't have the secondary fermentation type of thing that you get in champagne with the lees and all the brioche toasty nutty notes.
Mm.
It's supposed to be fresh, grapey, floral. That's what you're supposed to get. Easy, very easy to drink. It's only 11%. So the sweeter styles would tend to be 5.5%, 6% alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're not that popular with lots of people. I'm only joking.
Yeah.
But no, this is like a really refreshing, an alternative to Prosecco. But what do you think? Yeah?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, most of the glasses are empty, so I think they're enjoying it.
And everyone's holding them by the glass by the stem.
Yeah,
so
oh, yeah.
Well done,
classy
everybody.
Bunch.
Very classy ladies today.
Good to know. Serena, so let's get all the Oscar stuff out of the way, I suppose, first.
Okay.
He's going to win, obviously.
Do you know what? Up until last week, I wasn't sure, because Paul Giamatti kept winning a couple of the awards, but then when he won the Screen Actors Guild, we're talking about Cillian Murphy, just in case you're wondering who we're talking about. When Paul Giamatti did not win the Screen Actors Guild, we went, this has got to be Cillian's. I think we'd all be surprised if he didn't walk away with it. First Irishman who's born in Ireland to actually walk away with Best Actor.
Winner. And is it true, people are now saying possible Bond?
Yeah, well, they're throwing his name out there. His co-star threw his name out there. His co-star in Oppenheimer said, because Bond is supposed to have this dark side, and Cillian does tend to play some actors, some characters who have that dark side, so they're saying he'd be perfect for it. Nobody's confirmed it, but I think he'd be great. I saw Pierce Brosnan last night on the green carpet at the Oscar Wilde. He was asked, you know, what do you think of Cillian? He said Cillian would be great. I think he'd be great. I don't know if Cillian would want it, though. I can't see him being a franchise guy, a Bond franchise guy. He'd probably come in and play the baddie and then walk away.
Yeah. Plus also, I mean, you can see it's this absolute torture for the guy having to do interviews and smiling at people and all that kind of stuff.
Completely.
That Bond, I imagine, would be like that on steroids. Really.
Yeah, well, but you know what? Daniel Craig was like that too, wasn't he? Like,
yeah,
Daniel Craig hated doing
interviews,
and yet he was great. But look, I think he'd be better as a Bond villain than he would be as the Bond guy himself. But I think he's going to be collecting that statuette on Monday morning, our time.
Yeah. Okay. Henry, you know, Henry McKean is there. Yeah. He went. Cillian Murphy's on the same flight.
Of course he was.
Yeah. Henry met him in the Jacks. Not much chat, though.
He won't let his way to anything, won't he, Henry? Yeah.
Oh, no. You know what Henry did? This woman was on the show a few months ago, who works as an air steward. And she had written this piece about, because she has a blog about, you know, if there's an upgrade going, bring them a box of chocolates.
He did not.
He did.
And did he?
He did.
Only
Henry could get away with this. If I did it, I'd get arrested, you know, because it would just sound, ooh, you know. But he got the upgrade.
Wow. Now we're all going to walk around with boxes of chocolates.
Yeah. Send me a text from his posh seat, you know, when he was on the runway.
Only nice. Henry. Well,
yeah, only Henry would do it. Is there anyone you think is going to be a surprise on Monday morning?
I don't think there'll be surprises. I think Poor Things, which has been doing, and you'll probably agree with me, Poor Things has been doing really well on the awards circuit, but I really do hope that, as much as I do love Emma Stone, I think Lily Gladstone should walk away with Best Actress. So Flowers of the... I always get it wrong.
Flowers of the Flower Moon. Yeah.
Flowers of the Flower Moon.
Well, especially because Lily also won the SAG Award, and because the voting pool with the Academy and the SAGs is very similar, so that's why it rarely differs from, you know, the two awards as to who actually walks away with it. So Lily won the SAG and Cillian won as well. Mm-hmm. So it's likely going to be the two of them Monday morning. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
But big surprises, if you usually watch, like, we're going to stay up and watch, and usually you'd go watch it on Sky Cinema, but for the first time in 20 years, they've lost the rights. So it's on ITV1. And the great thing is they're moving it an hour forward. So instead of starting at 1 a.m. our time, it'll be starting at 12 a.m, which will hopefully mean by 4 a.m. we'll all be asleep. Because the problem with the Oscars is there are so many breaks because it's broadcast on ABC, which is commercial television, and there are breaks every 5 minutes. So they have to fill those ad breaks. Yeah, so we'll be texting each other, trying to keep each other awake.
Literally, sending each other jokes, being like, oh my God, did you see that? As we usually do.
And so then you watch it till 4 o'clock in the morning, you collapse into bed.
And then you start working.
And then the kids are... Mommy.
Yeah, that's true.
School.
Yeah, there's school and there's work, because this is such an exaggeration, but it's like the Super Bowl for us, because you just go with work as well, because it's such a busy day.
Yeah.
So, although I'll just be listening to Henry, because last year, Henry was amazing. I'm not going to tell you his secrets, but he got into places he shouldn't have been.
Oh, he lied. He lied to get into parties.
He should not have been on the Vanity Fair red carpet.
No.
And he was the only Irish journalist on the Vanity Fair red carpet. So I can't wait to see where he's getting into this year.
Yes. I'm in a prison in downtown LA. You are listening to The Moncrief Show and News Talk. We're going to take a break, back in a couple of minutes. Abby Soiree there, that's on Walcha, that's her new single, that's due to be released on March the 28th. Abby, thanks a million for coming into us today. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk in the Dean Townhouse in Dublin, with thanks to our friends in Marks and Spencers to celebrate International Women's Day. Serena, Linda and Olivia are with us on the stage. All in the audience, though, Gillian Martin. Where's Gillian? Oh, there she is.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Who are you with here today?
I'm here with my friends Lorna, Mairead and Cora.
Okay. Hello, Lorna, Mairead and Cora. Cora's a lovely name.
Avid Sailors. So thrilled to see
Avid Sailors. Where are you all?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Love your prize giving after
this. Yeah, I wish I'd known that. And you're a behavioural psychologist.
I am, but jeepers, I didn't put that in my application.
Yeah. We have people watching your house.
Oh, you wench.
Tell us about when you got your first phone.
Oh, yes. Well, unfortunately, back in the day, like many women here, I'm sure, I used to have my own dirty phone caller who was very brave, because that was back in the day of landlines, when he'd have to say, hello, Mrs. Martin, is Gillian there, please? And then go on to talk filth down the phone. But I went and got my first mobile phone, and I was so excited. And I rang my mother and I gave her the number, and I was still in Dunneary where I'd bought it. And 15 minutes later, the phone rings, and I heard, this is your first dirty phone call. I panicked, ran back to the shop. They were so sweet. They changed my number, gave me a new telephone number. We rang the police, you know, tried to tap the line. I got home in a panic, told my parents, and my dad said, yeah, that might have been me, actually.
Oh, my God. Do you think that influenced your decision to become a behavioural psychologist?
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to give you two tickets to see CMAT, the fabulous CMAT.
Oh, thank you.
Along with some of today's wines and chocolates from M&M's.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a million for that, Gillian. Right, we'll move on to our first movie of the day. It is Damsel. Here's a clip.
Stepmother, is something the matter?
Hello, dear. I know we haven't always been close, but I need you to listen to me now. This wedding is a mistake.
What? I don't understand.
These people? I don't trust them. It's hard to explain, but a mother knows these things.
Only yesterday you were enamored by this place, Floria.
I was wrong. They may be royalty, but that doesn't make them good people.
Well, what does Father think?
He refuses to talk about it. And when I try to tell him my worries, he snaps at me.
Because you're being unreasonable. That's enough, Floor.
Hello, dear. I swear that I only want what's best for you.
Right, okay. So this is costume drama, or costume anyway.
Costume, kind of like fantasy, little bit kind of Game of Thrones mixed with Dungeons and Dragons sort of style era. And there is a dragon as well. So that actually was a very good example by me, if I just pat myself on the back there for that one. But yes, it stars Millie Bobby Brown, who fans may recognize from Stranger Things. And the amazing Angela Bassett as well is in it. Ray Winstone and Robin Wright. So it's a jam-packed cast. And a sort of jam-packed but only just okay film. So they open it with saying, oh, yes, this is a film about a damsel who's in distress, but she's not necessarily a damsel in distress. And she is, Elodie is promised to this prince of this absolutely magical, beautiful-looking kingdom. And turns out that the wedding really isn't what she thought it was, and she's actually a sacrifice to be paid to the beast below in order to make sure that they can still rule and the beast will be happy. Essentially, that is what they do. And
as in, like, eat her? Or,
yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
So, essentially, because the king that founded the land had... he had sort of invaded, and in order to try and remain and keep everybody alive, he made a pact with the dragon to say, okay, I will give you my three daughters in order for us to reign. So then every generation they have to feed the dragon three daughters. But if you don't have a daughter, then what do? Well, you marry the son, you kind of corrupt the blood, and then the dragon will just think, oh, they're of royal blood, and eats away.
Okay. And can the dragon tell if it's not like a royal blooded?
So actually it does keep saying, it's like, oh, I can smell the royalty in your blood. So even though Elodie actually technically isn't of royal blood, because of them doing the kind of like blood brothers sort of thing, that makes her royal enough in the nose of a dragon, I guess.
Okay. All right. So I suppose the story arc then is her finding out she's going to be a dragon's lunch, and then... Trying to extricate herself from
to get out of the pit and, you know, seek revenge on those that threw her in there.
Right. Okay.
I have to say, there is points in the movie when, with all the special effects and everything, you are kind of looking at it going, wow, this would have been really great on a big screen. And then the story continues and you kind of go, nah, definitely a streaming movie. So as much as it's got some really strong messaging and some really, really good performances in there as well, It just sort of lacks. Like, it does a good job, but not a great job, if that kind of makes sense. So it's definitely worth a watch, I think. And I was really impressed with how, because it's in a cave for a lot of the film, and they kind of did some really smart, clever things to inject some light in there that wasn't just a weird thing of like, oh, suddenly there's like a moonbeam coming in. They did something a bit more clever than that, that really made sense in the context of the scenes, which I enjoyed. But yeah, there were some other bits where you're like, oh, come on now. Like, she could have just gotten out that gap there. She didn't have to wait.
Oh, yeah.
But there's all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So like, there was a lot of twists and turns to try and like keep her in the cave for longer. And I'm just like, nope, come on, lads. We can get her out of here now.
And is this, can kids watch this? Is this kind of...
Yeah, do you know what? It is suitable enough, I think. Now, I don't have any kids, so maybe just take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, but, okay.
I do think that there's nothing inherently too scary in it. So if you want to play cautiously, maybe give it a quick watch beforehand. But to me, I think it was...
Yeah, it means watching it twice.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
point.
You know
yeah.
what?
No one likes their kids that much. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think I would watch, if someone was saying to me, it's like, oh yeah, we'll throw it on, like if say like the girls were over for a few drinks one night and they're like, oh, we'll put this on. Yeah, I wouldn't mind watching it again. But if I was like sitting at home by myself with a glass of wine, I'd be like, nah, I might put on something else.
What stream is it on?
That's on Netflix now.
That's on Netflix now. Okay. And there's going to be a reboot of Baywatch.
Well, this is what they're saying. So, did I hear it? Oh.
Yes.
But... yeah, we've had the TV series was really popular. Then we had, you know, remember the Baywatch Nights? That was terrible. And then there was, I think it was 2017, we had the movie with Zac Efron even. And now apparently it's coming back to Fox. So the same producers, not the same cast, the official, so it was put up on X, so it has to be true, doesn't it? And the official description of the reboot says it's a daring ocean, there's daring ocean rescues, pristine beaches and iconic red bathing suits are back, along with a whole new generation of Baywatch lifeguards who navigate complicated, messy personal lives in this action-packed reboot that demonstrate there's the family you're born into and then there's the family you find. I don't think we need this.
No.
No. Do you know what I do think we need? Can I just quickly throw this in because I've been dying to say it?
Yeah.
I woke up to International Women's Day with a Kylie Madonna duet this morning. Did you see it? Did anyone see it?
Oh, no, I didn't see it, no.
Okay, this is what we need. Madonna was playing her celebration tour in Los Angeles last night and Kylie was in the audience. She brought Kylie up on stage and they sang, can't get you out of my head, but what's even... yeah, I'm a Kylie stan. What's even better is that Kylie was wearing the same outfit Madonna wore when she had the Kylie T-shirt on. So remember when Kylie went up... Madonna was on stage and she wore a Kylie T-shirt. Madonna wore... Kylie wore a Madonna T-shirt and was wearing the same pants. It was very exciting. If I was in that audience, I don't think I would have...
I get the sense this wasn't completely spontaneous then. So.
What makes you think that?
Yeah, I don't know.
The mic pack on Kylie might have done that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we might as well remain in the 1990s. Oprah is returning to TV to talk about weight loss injectables.
Yeah.
Please tell me she's not selling them.
No, but basically, it's been 3 years since she's done her last primetime special, and this is called Shame, Blame and the Weight Loss Revolution, and it's going to air on the ABC on the 18th of March. And basically, you know, a little while back, she had to admit that she took a weight loss injection. She didn't say which brand, but she took a weight loss injectable to lose all her weight. And she's doing this to take away the stigma that is around being overweight and obesity. And, you know, she said she's really tired of being judged for her size. And, you know, sometimes it is a medical problem that you need help with. So she's going to investigate that.
Okay. What do injectables do then?
It's weight. So there's three brands that they're talking about, and these actually help with suppressing your appetite, which then help you lose your weight.
Okay.
So, yeah, so she's saying that, you know, overeating, and I sort of get it. It is really hard when, you know, you do overeat, but it's not like, you know, when you overconsume alcohol, you can give it up. You can't give up eating. So she's going to look into all of this stuff. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
It hasn't been met with rapture support.
Injectable doesn't sound, sounds maybe a bit, you know, dodge. Really.
It sounds like she's trying to justify what she's been doing to lose weight.
Okay. So. Well, I suppose give it the benefit of the doubt. Some Mick in Mallow says Barry Fitzgerald was the first Irish-born actor to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in 1945.
Yes, but there's been no Best Actor.
Right, okay.
So it's a technicality.
Yeah. Also, somebody's got in contact from the States. Please remind your guests that we have daylight saving time in the US on Sunday, so there will be only 4 hours difference from here to Eastern Standard Time. It will start at 7 p.m. an hour early here in New York. So 11 p.m. your time.
Oh, that's even actually better. Music to our ears.
Yeah, that'd be even better.
And there's Jonathan Ross doing a special at 10:30 on ITV. So if you want to start at 10:30, you can start your...
All right, good stuff. Right, we do have to take a break. Back in a minute with more movies and booze. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. We are coming to you today from the Dean Townhouse with thanks to our friends in Marks and Spencers to celebrate International Women's Day. Rebecca Shivnan, where are you, Rebecca?
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Good, thank you.
And who are you with here today?
I'm here at my mum, Susan.
Yeah. Just the two of you?
Yep. Just the two of us, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about when you were in Australia.
Yeah, when I was in Australia, it was a week before Christmas, and I found out that my mother had a heart attack. Nobody told me.
Oh, why didn't they tell you?
Because they didn't want to worry me.
Oh, God. So when did you find out?
It was actually, I think it was 2 weeks beforehand you'd had the heart attack, and my brother caved eventually and said, yeah, by the way, Mum had a heart attack. Just thought you should know.
Oh, God. Did you want to cry and kill him at the same time?
Wanted to cry and kill everybody, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. But it, obviously, your mother's
obviously,
here.
We're here yeah. together. Yeah, here and, together. Yeah, I'm just delighted. Yeah.
I survived.
Yeah. Now, it was a young heart attack, though, was it? It was kind of a bit out of the blue.
49.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Family history, and I was a heavy smoker.
Yeah. That'll do it. That'll do it, all right. But how have you been since?
Oh, perfect. And I'm a non-smoker.
Okay, that's the main thing. Well done. What we're going to give you, and the two you can come, or you can divvy it out. This is a nice hotel. Do you think?
It is.
We're going to give you a night here in the Dean Townhouse.
Whoa.
With dinner and breakfast included. You get access to the health club with the pool and the sauna, as well as some of today's wines and chocolates, Marks and Spencers.
Thank you.
Enjoy that.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy that. Right, so let's move on to our second wine of the day. This is the rosé.
Yeah, so do you remember we were talking about M&S Found Range? So this is where they're doing things a little bit off the beaten track, a bit quirky. So Vino Verde is what you have in your glass at the moment. But everyone's, oh, Vino Verde. I thought that was green wine. Well, yes. This is a twist. It's made with red grapes. So it's a rosé Vino Verde.
Okay.
There you are.
Right.
So Tarriga Nacional would be a grape that people probably have never heard of, but it's an indigenous grape that's found in most port wines, the big, sweet, heavy, full-bodied style. And you're drinking a rosé that is the opposite of that, with a bit of spritz, real kind of delicate strawberries, you know, just fresh, easy summer, spring drink for sure. What would you pair that with? Anything. The sun, the clouds, anything. A bit of paella, a bit of charcuterie, everything. It just goes really, really easy. What do you think of that? Yeah, a bit of spritz.
Yeah, nice, that is very spritz, nice.
Delicate,
yeah.
So again, it's just a really easy, quirky making a Vino Verde in a rosé style. So the range itself can be found with the copper kind of capsule on the top, so you kind of easily recognise them in the store. And what I do like, I always say this about the M&S wines, they say on the back whether it's dry or sweet. So this is number two. So it's not dry, but it's slight spritz to it. So you're getting, and it's certainly not sweet. But Portuguese, Vino Verde, rosé, under the €10 mark, yeah?
Yeah, can't go wrong for that.
But thanks.
Can't go wrong for that. Right, so are they making a drama about Amanda Knox, Serena?
Yeah, so do you remember back in 2021, Matt Damon and Abigail Breslin made a film called Stillwater, and it looked like it was about her life.
Yeah.
Well, now Margaret Qualley, who a lot of people may have seen, was it the Netflix drama made? It was on Netflix, yeah. So she has been tapped on the shoulder by Hulu to say, do you want to come and actually play Amanda Knox? They're planning to do an eight episode, 1 hour series. So not much has been told to us about it. But what I found most interesting, besides the fact that Margaret Qualley is starring as Amanda Knox, is that there's a few people executive producing this, but one of the people involved is Monica Lewinsky. I didn't know she'd gone into producing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so her production company is involved in this as well. So it hasn't got into production yet, but it's going onto Hulu, and usually Disney sort of pick up Hulu stuff. So hopefully if it does go into production, we'll get to see it here on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how they depict her, or you know, do they come down on the side of...
Well,
guilt or innocence, or
I'd say they'll come down on the sides of innocence because Amanda Knox is also involved in producing this. So.
Right. Okay. That answers that question. For me. Yeah. And what is SNL 1975?
Oh, I can't wait for this. So, SNL has been going for 49 years.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. And so, what they're going to do is this is a real-time look at the very first episode before SNL went to air, before we heard those famous words. Live from New York, it's Saturday night. What happened? All the mayhem, how it almost didn't go on air. The reason why I'm very excited about this, though, is if you're a fan of Succession, Nicholas Braun, who played Cousin Greg, he's going to be starring as Jim Henson.
Oh, yeah, you can see that. Yeah. Big, dorky, bit awkward. Yeah.
And the great thing is that every living, even though it's set in 1975, I think you have to get the feel of what SNL is all about. They have interviewed every single living cast member that has been on SNL. So, yeah, I can't wait for that.
Okay, and have they mentioned any other cast yet?
There's a couple, but I actually don't know who they are. So, but that's good. I think when you're playing such famous people, sometimes you need people that you don't know because, like, with Cousin Greg, you can't help but look at him and go, "You're Cousin Greg." So it might take us a while to believe he's Jim Henson.
Yeah.
So I think when you're doing something as iconic as SNL 1975, you need not unknowns, but people who have been stuff, but you don't really, you're like, who are they from? And then you believe who they're playing.
Okay. And who will they be playing? What famous people were in that first episode?
So we've got Billy Crystal. Is going to be in it, and Michael O'Donoghue, who's another comedian. But I think the first run, weren't people like Steve Martin involved in it?
Chase
and, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. So there's going to, I think this is going to be really interesting because it's not just, and you know, let's replay the skits and stuff that they did on SNL. This is what actually happened before it happened, and a lot of it is going to be in real time.
Okay. Oh, that sounds very interesting. Yeah, when's that due to come out?
Don't know yet. Yeah. Don't know.
Well, if they're only announcing casts, it might be for ages.
Well, I'm hoping if they're announcing casts, it's usually like within the next couple of years.
Yeah, hopefully next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. We do have to take another commercial break. More movies and booze after this. We might as well move on to our second movie of the day. It's called Ricky Stenicki. Here's a clip.
They hired me.
Who?
MFNBC. They want me to produce the Hero of the Week segment.
MFNBC.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? What? Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Didn't I tell you you were going to get your big break?
You did.
You got your big break.
You did. I pitched them the Ricky Stenicki story, and they loved it.
The Ricky what?
The Hero of the Week segment. I sent them a proposal about the work Ricky does in Africa, in South America, and how he works with Bono and helped clean up the oil spill in the Chesapeake Bay, and they want me to produce it.
Oh.
Oh? What's wrong with your face?
His face is lovely. Right. So who is Ricky Stenicki?
Well, Ricky Stenicki, I don't know if people always have that one friend that, you know, whenever you get into trouble, you just always blame them. Like, mine is called Carol and she's sitting next to my mom on the front row. Hi. So what these three guys have done is when they were kids, they went to, you know, set a bag of dog poop on fire at this neighbor's house when they were children. Ended up setting the house on fire and then decided to leave a jacket behind, wrote Ricky Stenicki on the back of the coat and left it there for the police to find. So Ricky Stenicki became this philosophical and amazing guy who just does not exist. So they end up going on this big trip using Ricky as as adults. They use Ricky as this excuse to go to Atlantic City for a show. Run into this guy, played John Cena. He's an actor who's doing this terrible sort of rock star impersonations thing. So you actually get to see him as Alice Cooper and Billy Idol and things like that. And it's really, really funny. But while they're there, one of the guy's wives goes into labor and he ends up missing the birth. And to make up for it, Ricky Stenicki has to show up at the next event. So what do? Well, they give John Cena a call and they hire him to be Ricky Stenicki and, you know, hilarity ensues.
Right. Okay. And where, the clip we saw, where does that come in?
So that comes in about, I'd say, 2/3 of the way in. So Zach Braff's character, his partner, is a TV journalist.
He did my mistake.
Oh, my God. I did do your mistake.
Yeah. What was the mistake?
I said Zach Braff instead of Zach Efron because we...
Sorry, I tell you what, we could just bring Carol, your friend, over there for
Carol's
that.
Fault. So, sorry, Zac Efron and his partner, she is after getting like this really, really big job, and she wants to focus the Hero of the Week segment on her TV station show on Ricky Stenicki, who is just a fraud. So that's why he had that big look of panic on his face to be like, no, please don't go digging into his past.
Right. Okay. So does it kind of, it sounds a bit like maybe The Hangover, or is it that style of movie?
It's, style-wise, sure, maybe not by execution, because and again, as many people know, I just love a terrible bad movie, because if you just want to sit there and laugh your butt off at something that's just so ridiculously stupid that it shouldn't work, but it does, this is it. If you had ever wanted to see John Cena dressed up as Britney Spears from Hit Me Baby One More Time music video in heels and all, this is the film for you. And I have to say, he completely stole the show for me. You kind of forget that even though he started off as a wrestler and he has done some of like those really big like action movies, he's genuinely a very talented actor, and he has to do so much range in this role that I was just blown away by him. So if anything, it's really worth seeing just for that, but it's also just stupid fun.
Yeah, okay. It's got terrible reviews. Oh, you're probably aware of that.
Understandably terrible reviews, but it's still one of those ones where like I will probably watch that again and again and again.
Wow.
And I will still laugh with all of the stupidity that comes out of it.
Okay, so not Damsel, but this.
This would be my movie watch for the weekend.
Yeah. And the people who may have given it a bad review, what would they have given it a bad review for?
Being totally cringy, stupid, and not enjoyable at all. Whereas I thought that the cringy, stupid, not very funny at all sort of moments were really, really funny. And I even watched it sober. So, like, after a couple...
Wow.
I really have no excuse, so...
And Zac Efron, how's Zac Efron in this?
He's fine. Like, it's nowhere near... Well, like, I say, like, he's fine. I do mean, like, he is fine to look at. But he's also fine in this. Like, it's definitely nowhere near, like, his Iron Claw kind of performance, which I don't know if anybody has seen that. It is just chef's kiss of a performance. And, but, yeah, it's definitely not that. It's definitely not that. But it's still, like, it's just, like, average. And it's, for one of these films, it is just one of the, like, it's just... kind of average throughout, but I laughed a lot.
Okay, and what streamer is that on?
This is on Prime Video.
This is on Prime Video. Was Iron Claw, would that have missed the Oscars?
So technically, it still would have qualified for it because I think it did hit cinemas just at the cutoff point, but they just didn't, I don't think they really had the faith in it. It was A24, wasn't it, or Lionsgate?
It's mad because that film should have been in Oscar contention, and Zach Efron, if I did that more for me than anybody else, if he was ever going to win an Oscar or be nominated for an Oscar, that would have been his moment. If you haven't seen it, it is so good. I went to a press screening where all the grown men in the screening were crying. Brian Lloyd was next to me, and he was...
Brian Lloyd was like, when he was on with us, going, I rang my brother going, why don't we see each other anymore?
He was heaving. I literally gave him a tissue and just went, I'm going to give you this tissue and I'm just going to leave you
You can
alone.
Do what you want with it, but dab your eyes or hide it.
Like. Yeah. Okay, that's really a shame. That's a shame. Anyway, let's move on to our third wine of the day. It's a red this time.
So, again, the final one from the Found M&S range. This is a grape called Refresco. Is that okay, Sabrina?
How do you want to say it?
Refresco.
Refresco?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an ancient grape that you've probably never heard of. And it's, what do you, like, I mean, it's chilled. Do you notice that it's a little bit cooler in your glass? So you do that with red wines that don't have that much tannin, so that's the way it dries out your mouth. So this is, again, a spring-summer type of wine that it's mixed berries. It's kind of cherry notes as well. So it's not too tannic or in your face that you have to have big, heavy meats or anything. It's more simple little dishes, again, like our charcuterie with the rosé as well. You don't have to overthink it. It's not supposed to be, you know, blockbuster. You must eat with this. It's easy summer drinking style red with that mixed kind of plum and cherries and a melody of fruit. What do you think, people?
What's the ABV on that?
13.
Okay.
It's not like a blockbuster, as I said. Yeah. It's a really easy grape for people to... you're not going to find it everywhere. It is in this found rare ancient grape range. So, I mean, it's definitely worth
And what part of Italy does it come from?
North, south, east, west. North, south, east. Fruity, yeah. Right. Fruity area. But it's ancient. Like, you're not going to find, it's not like Merlot or Cabernet or anything like that. Yeah. It's just kind of been resurfaced. And that's with this range from M&S, that they kind of are finding things that are new things to discover and explore at a really affordable price. So around the 10 euro mark as well.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. No, that's lovely. That's, yeah. That's really nice. Now, they've just published, Forbes magazine has published the highest paid actors from last year. This, like, let me ask you, who would you think is the highest paid actor from last year?
Okay,
I hate when people get it right.
I know, I would have gone with you though, Sean, because Barbie and Oppenheimer, they both brought in over $1 billion at the box office, right? So you'd think it'd be one of those actors. But the thing is, with those actors, they're going to keep making their money for years to come, right? Because they've got the residuals and stuff. Adam Sandler, he works for Netflix and he got like a massive deal with Netflix. The problem is with him, it doesn't matter how many times they stream, he's not going to be getting the residuals that Margot Robbie will be getting from Barbie forever. So he does. He comes at the, in at the top of the list. Like Netflix, over 500 million hours was spent watching. No, I got that wrong. Don't quote that, but I will say.
He got 73 million.
Yeah, but the amount of hours, he's the most watched person on Netflix.
What?
Right.
Yeah, because he has so many.
He's churning this
with
stuff
them.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's not even just stuff that he's in, it's stuff that he's producing as well through
Of course,
his,
But so that we're all, he's getting all the, is this all Netflix money?
This is all Netflix, but this is it. So as I said, it's not like Margot Robbie who came in at second with 59 million for Barbie, right? She's going to keep making money off Barbie for years to come.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was surprised, really surprised, that Tom Cruise is still in there. Yeah, exactly. Like Top Gun was
last year. Mission Impossible thing, wasn't that?
So he came in at like, this money is hilarious. This is like, this is the net. So gross, they made more, but this is after they pay all their agents and everyone that's in their lives.
Yeah, but so, probably damn old tax.
Yeah, 57 million Tom Cruise made.
Yeah.
And then I was surprised because there's only another female. There's only two females in the top 10. As I said, it was Margot Robbie. Jennifer Aniston came in at 42 million.
Wow.
And this is the woman who never has to work again because of the residuals back when she was working on a sitcom. They had great contracts. So anytime it's the show keeps showing, they get money. So she doesn't have to work again. Wow. And she makes $2 million an episode for
Friends.
The morning show.
No. The morning show. Yeah.
Right.
So, and at the bottom.
Oh, is that why the rest of them aren't in here?
Yeah.
The rest of the Friends people, because she's actually working.
Exactly. She's,
well, one of them's dead.
She doesn't need.
So he doesn't count.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And Denzel Washington's in at number 10. So
yeah.
Jason Statham's in there. Jason Statham. $41 million last year.
That's just for movies, then.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's mad. It's not any of their endorsements or anything. I mean, Jason Statham came in equal to Leonardo DiCaprio on $41 million. I would not have put them on equal footing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy money, is it?
Yeah.
Did you see The Spaceman then?
I haven't actually seen it yet, but it's on my watch list. It's been getting kind of like mixed reviews. So it's
Sandler
and Carey Mulligan, but yeah, I'm interested to see it just so I can understand what people are talking about.
The giant spider. How was the giant spider?
Yeah, that was because when you describe he's in space, he's been in space for 6 months, his marriage is dissolving, and then a giant spider appears and helps him resolve his many issues. That sounds crap.
And it's not a comedy, is it?
It's not a comedy. No.
And I'm also a big arachnophobe, so I'm not really sure this is going to be the film for me.
That was an interesting thing. At the start, you go, there's a giant spider. And then the spider kind of, I don't know if they changed the spider, but he starts to look a bit cute.
I am one of those people who never,
about Leo?
They will never look cute to me.
Did you see Adam Sandler's Leo movie, where he's the voice of the little iguana or whatever?
Yes, that's actually a very good movie.
That's a lovely one.
Yeah.
It is lovely.
Yeah, that's an excellent movie. Right, thank you all very much to Linda and Olivia and Serena. That's pretty much all we have time for today from the Dean Townhouse, I'm afraid. Lots of people I do want to say thank you to. You should give a round of applause to Rachel Hogan, Rebecca Flynn, along with Seifer Donovan, Josh Maher and Jack Lawler. They gave you the drink today. So that was probably the most important job.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief
with Marks and Spencer
on News Talk.